Like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be sharing on a topic I've called Keep Calm and Trust God. Wasn't there a book written a number of years ago, I believe, Dan Mikish, I'm sure you would be aware of this. It was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Well, I mean, I guess to a certain degree, that's true. But man, where we start really sweating bullets is when it's not small stuff, at least not small stuff in our minds and in our hearts. It's, I mean, it could be World War II. But you know, something happened in World War II that's really interesting, because the British government, they coined that slogan, keep calm and carry on. And it happened in 1939 as the threat of World War II loomed. And in the event that Hitler's army invaded England, the posters were to be distributed to England's general population in an effort to galvanize their resolve to resist German aggression. Should Germany invade across the English Channel, it would be one of the darkest times in world history. Obviously, you can tell from the kind of the way I'm reading it, this is an article that I'm reading here a little bit of, but it just speaks so much history and so much truth. Under the shadow of Nazi air raids and bombing runs, death and destruction, and a world thrown into chaos, the British knew the people would need encouragement. The future of the free world teetered in the balance. And in those dark times, believers everywhere prayed fervently. Thankfully, most of us will never have to face that kind of tragedy and adversity in our own lives. Nevertheless, today we find ourselves embroiled in a different kind of war. Our lives sometimes, many times, seem to be under constant assault. Worry, fear, stress, and anxiety make war on many of us every day. Our society has accepted depression and discouragement as common social ailments, and anxiety threatens to immobilize us as unfulfilled dreams, loss, divorce, sickness, death, failures, mistakes, and criticism seem to rain down on us like bombs. But God is not the author or cause of such destructive atrocities. And like we read previously in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and guess what? I will hearken unto you. I will listen. I will not only listen, I will answer. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." God is not the author or cause of destructive things that go on in the senses world. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, I believe it is, that the devil is the god of this world. And he's racking and ruining people's lives, and because they don't understand what's happening spiritually behind the scenes. If you'll remember a very famous verse that we have all come to know and love in John 10:10, where Jesus says these words, and these words have stuck with me for many, many, many years. And in John 10:10, it says that the thief cometh not but for to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So, you know, what God's word is saying, what God is telling us, is that the thief, it's Satan, the devil, that is the enemy who comes to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. So, where do we turn in these trying times then? You know what? The same place the Christians in World War II did. And like Al so graciously and wonderfully taught on Monday night, prayer. You know, just as with the British facing the threat of German invasion, we must keep calm and carry on. When adversity comes, however, simply keeping calm is not enough, because we cannot fight the enemy of our soul with a slogan, nor can we carry on in our own strength. We need to rely on, gain our strength from God. We need to trust Him completely and totally, because whether we realize it or not, many of the battles we face in our lives today are spiritual battles, and we cannot win with just our own willpower. You know, when trouble comes your way or when bad news hits you right between the eyes, we have to be determined to replace fear with confidence. I love that verse in 2 Timothy 1:7. You probably have it memorized. Let's look at it. 2 Timothy 1:7. Great, great scripture. And I've said to myself, I'm going to say probably hundreds of times. Because you kind of see yourself going down the rabbit hole, and it's like, whoa, 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 wait a second. Fight the enemy, the adversary, with the same tactics that Jesus did. And he used, it is written. He used the word. And so my confession, my declaration can be, like it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God, maybe it could say, but God. For God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But in contrast, power and love and of a sound mind. See, that we want to replace fear with confidence in God. What a great verse to be able to do that. See, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. I just love that. And to be able to replace worry and anxiety with His peace. Can you think of a verse right off the top of your head that talks about that? Yes, we keep calm. But you know what? Also, we trust God most of all. It's not that we keep calm and carry on. We keep calm and trust God. Love that verse in Philippians chapter 4. You know, anxiety, like it said in the beginning, it's just such a fact and a event that happens. But I love this verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What does a prayer like that sound like for you? How about this? Heavenly Father, thank you for my heart, the way it's been weighed down, Father, with thoughts of how you're going to provide for me, that I don't know the answers, Father, that I can have. I need your wisdom. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your grace, because I'm not strong enough, big enough, smart enough to figure out how all these things work, Lord. So whatever anxiety and cares I carry that seem to be overshadowing and burdening me down, I just release them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I do it with great thanksgiving, Father, because you are the God of all creation, the God of all might, and the God of all love, in Jesus Christ's name. Now it says that the fulfillment of that and the fruit of release will be peace. That the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that's got to be a spiritual thing. It's not something I create or I bring. It's something God brings as a result of the release. Keep calm and trust God. I love that verse in Isaiah 26:3. It's another one of those classic kind of a peace verse that I, you know, meditate on and think about. And, you know, because, hey, I'm like every other human being. I've got things that my heart gets burdened down with and things that kind of cause me to be unpeaceful. And so what do? I find scriptures. I go to the Word and I respond and mull and meditate upon these great truths, like in Isaiah 26:3. Thou, God, you will keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on you, because I trust in you. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Then it says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Boy, those are two things that are really beautiful for us to be able to have. You know, God has promised he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He wants to be a part of our lives, everything. You know, when we need his help, I know this sounds like the most simple thing in the world. All you have to do is ask. In our hour of greatest need, he will uphold us. He will sustain us. He will give us the greatest supernatural, miraculous peace in the midst of any storm that may be going on. We can overcome, and we are overcomers, whatever challenges may come our way. And it's not always in times of trouble. It could be for friends. It could be for winning someone, reaching someone, God opening doors, like it talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, God's on our side. He's for us. He's going to see us through. So that's why I thought it'd be cool to close in Ephesians chapter 6. One of the great exhortations to the Christian church about the spiritual warfare and competition that we're in. If any of you have never had the chance to read a wonderful book by Jan Majera called The Armor of Victory, Exposing the Strategy of the Evil One, I would recommend that. It's available certainly on, it's from Amazon, or you can go to her website and, you know, look at some different things on there and be able to order it. But it helps to explain and in some respects, give practical answers to how to stand. Because you're familiar with these verses, but they are dynamic. Verse 10 of Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but what? Against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then as a culmination, not necessarily a piece of the armor, but as a culmination, that this prayer that is given in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, is a conclusion. It is the crowning exhortation on what to do in our lives to walk worthy of the calling, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. You know, when we pray to God, what we will also want to be able to do and take the time to do is listen. Listen. So, yes, we pray, and then we we listen for God's response to what it is we're praying about. And because we want to be wise in the things that we do. And that's why it culminates in verse 18 saying, praying when, how long, wherever, always, always. That must be a figure of speech, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And there's a lot of things right there that could be, I don't know, we could probably just go on and on and on. But the heart of what I'm really trying to say today, guys, and tonight, in this very short period of time, is the heart of the Father God desires to hear from us. And it's for our benefit. And, you know, it's a mutual thing. We're working together here. So we open our hearts and pray to God. And then, you know what? He speaks to us. We listen. We respond. And in whatever way. And that's the art of all arts, is hearing from God. Hearing from God. Listening to his voice. You know, I thought about this today, about all of those records in the Old Testament. You know, those guys must have been pretty good about listening, because it says, then saith the Lord. And like, I just turned to Ezekiel 15, first verse. Says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and then in verse 16, or chapter 16 of Ezekiel, it says, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. And countless times over and over, actually in verse 17, or chapter 17 of Ezekiel, right there, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, you know what? These guys had some confidence in being able to hear the voice of God, to confidently write that. See, we're still learning. We're still growing. We're still developing. But you know what? This can be done, because God wants to have that kind of relationship with us. And I certainly want to have that kind of relationship with God. And I may not be, you know, the most expert in doing it, but it's a work. We're all a work in progress. We're learning. Start today. Converse. Open your heart. And you know what? Like I said at the very beginning, keep calm. No, not carry on. Keep calm and trust God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, exhorting, comforting, encouraging word of God that enables us so far beyond our human strength and ability, Lord. Only you see the real potential in us to walk like your son. And help us to get over all of our fears and all of our insecurities and intimidations and all the other things that try to hold us back, our own pride. Just help us to be humble servants, Father, who have a mission in life, and that is to serve you, to glorify you to the best of our ability. And we pray that we do it with your wisdom, your voice, your strength. And that truly is the cry of our hearts, Father. And we thank you that we have been so blessed to have such a great, great knowledge of your word. And that we get to go out and live it, not just know it, but to know how to walk as a man or a woman of God by this Holy Spirit that we've been given. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.